Well, for today's message, folks, I need you to engage your imagination. I want you to picture yourself sitting on the shoulder of one of the two disciples as they're walking the road to Emmaus, that very first Easter Sunday. And as a stranger comes along and joins them on the way, you're listening in, you're eavesdropping, as they discuss all that's happened in Jerusalem the last few days, Jesus' shock crucifixion, and the mysterious news this morning that Jesus' grave is empty. Now, this stranger begins to explain how everything written in the scriptures, the Old Testament, about the Messiah had to be fulfilled. And we pick up the conversation as they get to the promise that someone would come who would be exalted to God's right hand in glory. Now, perhaps, albeit with a more manly voice and certainly with no Australian accent, maybe this is something like what Jesus told them on that day. Well, do you remember how God promised that one person would be exalted to his right hand in glory? One person would be given the seat of honour and power in his kingdom. I mean, you've read Psalm 110, right? And since then, we've been waiting with hope for a sovereign greater even than King David, a victorious king over all kings, to whom the living God Yahweh would say, "Sit at my right hand until I make the all enemies your footstool." We've waited since King David for this one to come, this one who would be victorious over every enemy, this one to whom God would designate all rule and authority and reign in his kingdom. And we've waited for this king to be exalted, to be lifted up to the right hand of God. But have we understood what that means? Have we pictured it wrong, thinking that this person would simply be like a military leader? Perhaps one who would rescue us from the Roman rule? Perhaps one who would establish a new Jewish nation? In that picture, maybe we're imagining that to be seated at God's right hand is just like a special front row seat in heaven. Perhaps given his own special little chair next to the throne of God up on the heavenly stage. But actually, the promised king to come, if we look closely, is even greater than that, so much greater than that. I mean, think about this. What was Jesus' own favourite term for himself when he was teaching and ministering here among us? The Son of Man. Didn't he call himself that all the time? And this little phrase, it comes from Daniel 7. It's this glorious passage of scripture in which Daniel is given a vision of a day when a human being, a son of man, would be able to approach the living and holy God. Approach the Ancient of Days in his throne room in the splendor of all his holiness. And this Son of Man in Daniel 7, he would be able to enter into the very presence of the living God with nothing blocking his way, no sin and no barrier getting in his way. And in Almighty God's plan, this Son of Man, this human being, would be exalted and given authority and glory and sovereign power as king over all of God's creation, a dominion which would never end, and a kingship over a kingdom which would never be destroyed. That was God's plan. That was the vision that Daniel saw. A forever king over God's kingdom, a perfect king who can enter into the very presence of the living God, a king greater even than King David, for David would call him my Lord. But actually, if you look at Daniel 7, the vision and the promise is even greater still, for this forever king would not simply be a great man, a great king or a victorious leader. No, this Son of Man, this one seated at the right hand of God with all glory and authority, he would be worshipped. Worshipped by all nations and peoples of all languages. I wonder, have you thought about the significance of that? I mean, this Son of Man is not simply a great man. He can't simply be a great man, for worship is something reserved only for God. To worship anything, less than God is idolatrous and sinful. And yet here in Daniel 7, the vision is one of a human being exalted to the seat of honour and glory and worshipped alongside the living God. So do you see the vision, the plan of God for one exalted to his right hand is not simply a special front row seat in heaven. It's not simply an authority figure. For this Son of Man would be seated at God's right hand on God's throne. That is, the Son of Man would be God himself coming. In the Son of Man, God himself would become the forever King of his people. In the Son of Man, seated at the right hand of God, is God the Son, established as King of kings and sovereign judge over a kingdom that will never ever perish, spoil, or fade. That was the vision of God. That was the plan of God. But wait, there's even more. If you look at this promise, if you look at this vision and think about Psalm 110, not only is the promise that this right hand, this one exalted to the right hand of God, is king, but also he is priest. He is high priest of heaven. It's there in Psalm 110, to the same one who is made a forever and victorious king over every enemy. In verse 4, the living God promises, "You are a priest forever." In the order of Melchizedek. And do you remember Melchizedek in Genesis 14? This king of Salem and priest of God Most High. It's a very unusual combination to be both king and priest. And Melchizedek was exalted greater even than our father Abraham. For Abraham honored him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of all his wealth. So just as Melchizedek was king and priest of God Most High, so too this one exalted at God's right hand would be king and priest of God Most High. And just as Melchizedek was so much greater than Father Abraham, so too this one to come, this one at the right hand of God, would be so much greater than Melchizedek. Why? Well, because he would be the last and the forever high priest. He would be the one able to intercede for He would be the one able to intercede for God's people, not simply in a temple down on earth, but in the very throne room of the living God himself. And this high priest, he is priest forever, able to intercede for his people for all time. That's the vision. That's the promise. It's the promise we've been waiting for, that this one whom God promised to exalt to his right hand as king and priest forever in heaven was coming. And did you not hear Jesus' own claim just on Friday at his trial? For there was no doubt in his mind about who he was and what God's plan for him was. I mean, think again of Jesus' answer when the high priest, the chief priest, asked him at his trial, do you remember what he said? The chief priest asked him point blank, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And without hesitation, without apology, Jesus replied, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." You will see the Son of Man, Daniel 7, sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, Psalm 110, and coming on the clouds of heaven, Daniel 7 again. See, Jesus, he knew who he was when he answered that chief priest. When asked outright, Jesus declared outright, "I am the one spoken of in Daniel 7. I am the one whom King David would call Lord in Psalm 110. I am the one whom the living God exalts to the seat of glory and authority and power at his right hand. I am God amongst us. God come to earth as man, deserving of all worship by all nations and all peoples and all languages for all time." Jesus knew who he was, and he died for it. Because hearing these claims, the chief priests and all the authority and the leadership there, they knew what he was saying. And they tore their clothes and shouted for his blood, because this is blasphemy, they said. And so it would have been if that was the end of the story. If Jesus had just gone to his death making these bold claims and yet rotted in the grave alongside everyone else who's ever died, then his claims would indeed have been proven false, proven blasphemous. But that's not what happened. See, Jesus' death wasn't the end of the story. God raised Jesus from the dead. That's why his grave is empty this morning. Do you see? God has raised Jesus from the dead. God has vindicated Jesus. God has declared in raising him from the dead that everything he said about himself was true. He is the Son of Man. He is the King of Kings. He is the High Priest of Heaven. He is the Exalted One, seated at the right hand of God. And all of this was God's plan. All of it foretold in the Scriptures. All of it fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of Man, God with us. And so now Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God, forever king and forever priest, he has been raised never to die again, and he lives forever to rule with justice and righteousness over all creation and to forever intercede before God for his people. Do you see what it means for God's own people now? That God has completed, has finished his saving plan and has exalted the Lord Jesus to his right hand. You see, because Jesus is enthroned as forever King of Kings, is there anything that could snatch us from God's hand? I mean, is there any power or authority that is greater than his? No. Every enemy is made his footstool. And because Jesus is the High Priest of Heaven, who could possibly bring any charge against God's people? No one. For the risen Jesus is High Priest forever. He is forever able to intercede for us, forever making us right before our holy God. And even though we do face trouble and hardship and trials and even death in this life, will not the same powerful God who raised Jesus from the dead also raise us? You know, if God has come so near to us in Jesus, if Jesus has been given all authority and power, will anything be able to separate us from his love? No way. No way, for today and tomorrow and 3 years from now and 300,000 years from now, Jesus will still be at the right hand of God in heaven, interceding for his people and showing God's love for them forevermore. There is nothing that will ever be able to separate God's people from his love, because Jesus is at God's right hand. He is exalted. He has finished everything necessary for God's saving plan to be effective, just as was foretold in the Scriptures. You see, Jesus knew who he was. And we need to keep reflecting on this and catch up with the amazingness of it all. That the Son of Man is even now seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, and he will come again on the clouds of heaven. That was God's plan foretold in the Scriptures. That was what Jesus went to the cross knowing. And it was what was fulfilled in his death and resurrection. See, Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the suffering servant. He is the cornerstone. And he is the one exalted to God's right hand. God with us, God for us forever. How amazing is God's plan? How amazing is our God? How astounding is his plan to save us? And how beautiful is the good news that he has for the world in Jesus? I wonder, what else could we unpack? We're not quite to Emmaus yet. Let's keep going. What else should we discuss and marvel at?
So it's because we've got this forever King Jesus and this forever High Priest Jesus that we can come into the very throne room of God with confidence, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that he is ours forevermore and we are his forevermore. And so we come with confidence. And that's really what this song is all about. It's called Before the Throne of God Above. And it starts like this. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. So please, will you stand and sing this with us?